I have a joy that can't be tamed.
I have a hope.
I have a hope that can't be taken. I have your spirit here with me. I have a faith that can't be shaken. I have a joy that can't be taken.
Sing it again, I have a hope.
Yeah, yes.
I have a hope that can't be taken.
Have your spirit.
I have your spirit here with me.
I have faith, Lord.
I have a faith that can't be shaken.
I have joy.
I have a joy that can't
be. Gotta sing it again. Proclaim that this morning. I have a hope.
I have a hope that can't be taken.
I have your spirit.
I have your spirit here with me.
I have faith.
I have a faith that can't be shaken.
Yes, Lord.
I have a joy that can't be tamed. What more could I gain? I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the Lord. I will see Lord in the land of the living.
I will see.
I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
I will see the Lord,
yeah. I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of living. Oh, I will see the Lord. Oh, I will see the Lord. You give us strength to face the battle. You give us life beyond the grave. You give us freedom now forever. You give us all eternity.
Give us strength, Lord.
You give us strength to face the battle. You give us life beyond the grave. You give us freedom now forever. You give us all eternity. What more could I gain? I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I will see the Lord. darkest night, even in the fiercest fight, ever still my soul will cry, I fear no evil. Even when I have no home, even when they throw the stones, ever still my soul will know, I fear no evil. Even in the darkest night, even in the fiercest fight, ever still my soul will cry, I fear no evil. Even when I have no home, even when they throw the stones, ever still my soul will know, I fear no evil. I will see the Lord, I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes, Lord.
I will see the Lord, I will see the Lord in the land of the living.
I will see the Lord, yeah.
I will see the Lord, I will see the Lord.
Trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Give me faith, Lord.
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
I may be weak.
I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my love.
One more time as a prayer, give me faith.
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Praise you, Jesus.
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Would you lift your hands and sing it? Give me faith.
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for being here to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And then I want to turn over to the book of Malachi, chapter 4, and read one verse there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. Again, I want to welcome all those who are joining us online. Listen, if you have a prayer request, please be sure to post it there, and we will respond back to that. We're praying for you, and we're asking you to pray for us today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2 says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Would you stretch your hands toward me today and pray with me, and I'll pray for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this word that you've deposited into my spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to deliver it faithfully. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to speak it with the unction of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that it would not fall on deaf ears, but, Lord, it would fall on good ground of our hearts. And I pray that it would change and transform us. Lord, I just pray that your spirit would have freedom in this service, freedom in our lives, freedom to those who are listening online. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a mighty and powerful work in each and every one of us. We need you now, God, more now than ever before. We're depending and trusting upon your spirit. Thank you for meeting with us in a powerful way, Lord. Thank you for blessing the proclamation of your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray these things, and everybody said, amen. Thank you for your prayers. You may be seated. I want to talk to you this morning about a good kind of fear. A good kind of fear. We know that God does not want us to be fearful. We just got through singing about it just a few moments ago. We know that the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know about you, but there's been many times I have quoted that scripture in my life. Because if you've been serving the Lord for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. The spirit of fear will try to come over your mind or your body or your spirit and cause you to be anxious or worry about something. But I'm just thankful today we've got the power of God. We've got the Word of God to depend on, and we've got the Word of God to go to. God's not given us the spirit of fear, and if it didn't come from God, then you know who it came from, and you got to take authority over that in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded of that powerful promise in Isaiah 43 when he said, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you and I've called you by, he said, I've called you by your name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the floods, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, neither you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you. That's the kind of promise that we have. God said he will be with us in those moments. He said, fear not, for I have called you by your name and you are mine. However, I'm afraid fear may have received a bad rap at times, because some fear in life is good. In fact, some fear is even necessary. Small children need to be taught to be afraid of a hot stove, else they will be burned. As they get older, they need to be taught to be afraid of a busy street, or else they may get hit by a car. And as they become teenagers, they need to be taught not to drive too fast. They could get in an accident and be fatally wounded. Could be killed, right? We have to teach that fear to a certain degree is needful. The fear I want to preach on today is not only a good fear, it is a vital fear. It is vital for the survival of a nation. It is vital for the stability of a marriage. It is even vital for the salvation of an individual, though it would not be politically correct to say, I am convinced the greatest problem we face in America today is the loss of this kind of fear. What kind of fear are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the fear of God. The fear of God is the glue that holds a society together. It is the safety net that keeps a nation from falling into total chaos and moral destruction. We have lost, for the most part, the fear of God in this nation, and we're losing it more every day. And even over the years that I have been involved in pastoring in a church, I fear that we have, as a church, as the people of God, even lost the fear of God in our lives. We need to rediscover and we need to find again the fear of God, because it's the beginning of wisdom and instruction. Russell Board, in his book on the Psalms, we're studying his work in our couples class right now. He makes this distinction in Psalm 36 between those who fear the Lord and the wicked. He said, and I quote, "One major deficiency in the heart of the wicked is a lack of the fear of God. In Scripture, the fear of the Lord is not craven dread of punishment for having been caught breaking the rules. No, one who fears the Lord harbors a proper sense of the preeminence, sovereignty, beauty, and holiness of God. To such a person, the thought of offending the Lord is sacrilegious and repulsive." I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have lost that desire in your heart, if offending the Lord is not sacrilegious, and if it's not repulsive to you, there's something wrong in your relationship with the Lord. He goes on to say, in contrast, the wicked person is always looking for a way to justify every decision he makes, every act he chooses to perform. He stockpiles excuses and rationalizes his sins in the self-righteous conceit that neither God nor others will be able to condemn him for what he has done. In this way, he deflects any sense of culpability for his own actions. In other words, it's always somebody else's fault or something else's fault. They never want to take ownership of their wrongdoing or their sin. The fear of God is one fear I want to have and hold to my heart, precious in my life, every day of my life. If we're going to deal with all the other fears and find God's best in our life, we must have a healthy fear of God. Let's look at several truths on how we can have a proper understanding of the fear of God in our lives. Number one, we must have a positive view of the fear of God. Because when I even mention the words fear of God, that strikes fear in the hearts of so many. The very term fear of God could easily conjure up the wrong image in your mind and make you think something about God that is incorrect. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is not a boogeyman hiding behind every door waiting to catch you doing something wrong, waiting to shoot fire out of his mouth and burn you to a sizzle. I mean, God is not sitting up in the sky with a big old hammer waiting for you to make your next mistake so that he can just pounce on you. I told him not to do that. Boom. I told her not. I said this over and over again. I don't know why she just can't get this. Boom. That's not what God is doing. If that's your image of God, you have an incorrect image of who God is. I'm talking about an awe and respect for the holiness of God. I'm talking about an awe and respect for the Word of God and the truths of Scripture. I'm talking about This kind of awe that says this word was not only for my parents and my grandparents and their parents, but this word is for me. The truths that are written in this book are timeless, unadulterated, without error truths. That's the kind of fear of God I'm talking about here this morning. The fear of God is a continual awareness that I'm in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God, and every thought, word, action, and deed is open before Him. Right? This is scriptural. Because, see, we've gone so far to the other side these days that we don't want anybody to feel any kind of conviction. We don't want anybody to feel any kind of wrongdoing. We don't want them to feel remorse. I'm here to tell you today, we need the conviction of God now like we've never needed it before. We need the Holy Spirit to show us when we are wrong, show people that they are in need of a Savior. They need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. This is scriptural according to Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Think about this. If you were continuously aware of all of your thoughts, words, and actions, and you knew that they would be displayed publicly so that everyone could hear them and see them, it would make an unbelievable difference in the way you and I live. In fact, a lot of us worry a great deal about what other people think about us. And that's the fear of man. But how many of you know, to a certain degree, we should care about what people think about us, because that's our reputation. How many of you know our reputation is important? But listen, if that's all you care about is what other people think about you, you've got your priorities wrong. You should think more about what God thinks about you than what others think about you. Right? If we have this kind of fear of other people, how much more should we have a fear of God? In order to simplify this, let me just put it this way. Fear is to the Old Testament what faith is to the New Testament. When I talk about placing your faith and when I talk about placing your faith in God and your trust in God and believing God, that sounds wonderful to all of us. But when I say something about the fear of God, some people say, that brings negative connotations to me. But what I want to share with you this morning, it shouldn't bring negative connotations, because there are tremendous benefits that come alongside of having a proper understanding of the fear of God. For example, is there anybody in this room today that's needing some direction in their life in some way, a direction over a decision that you've got to make? I would say that in the room of this size today, there's somebody here that's praying, God, I need direction in this area. I need you to show me what to do. I need to show me how I need to approach this situation. The Bible says in Psalm 25 and 12, who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path that they should choose. Hallelujah. Anybody here need some protection from their enemies? The Bible says in Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all about them that fears Him and delivers them. Do you want to avoid giving in to temptation and have victory over sin? Does that apply to anybody here today? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 6, the fear of the Lord keeps one away from sin. Do you want to have the best quality of life that you can possibly have on this earth? I believe everybody would raise their hand here this morning. Yes, you want a good quality of life. Then the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 4, and this is from the Message paraphrase, the payoff for meekness and the fear of God is plenty and honor and a satisfying life. Hallelujah. The point is, you need to have a positive view of what fearing God can do for you and why fearing God is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. This is a good kind of fear. But it's one thing to have a positive view of the fear of God. It's another thing, secondly, to personally experience the fear of God. Our text says one more time, Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A.W. Tozer, he was one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. He correctly said this when he said, and I quote, "No one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God." The psalmist said in Psalm 85 and 9, "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him." When the psalmist said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, he simply meant that true knowledge always begins with a deep reverence and a deep fear of him. If we're going to boil this fear of God down to its true essence, it is this: fearing God is taking God seriously and putting God in our lives where he ought to be. Putting God in our lives where he ought to be. Should he be on the outskirts? Should he be on the perimeter? No, he should be in the very center of our lives. No wonder the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So if you want to operate in the fear of God, then he needs to have the proper place in your heart, and that's the very center of your life. So what hinders people from fearing God? What is the biggest obstacle? David told us thousands of years ago in Psalm 36, which I alluded to just earlier, in verse number 1, "There is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin." No wonder God speaks against pride. It said that this is one of the seven things that God hates. There's no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate sin. You see, the fear of God is not only something that you learn, it is something you choose. How many know that we have to choose to fear God? Choose to fear him. Proverbs 1 and 29 says, "Hate knowledge and choose." He said that many people hate knowledge and choose not to fear the Lord. I don't want to be one of those persons. I want to love knowledge, the knowledge of God, and I want to choose to fear the Lord. You can choose to fear God, which means you choose to love God so much that he alone is the supreme love of your life, and you love him more than you love yourself or anyone else. And this may surprise you, but the fear of God and the love of God, listen, the fear of God and the love of God are inseparable. To fear God is to love God, and to love God is to fear God. Because Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, there's certain things in our culture that you can't separate. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word chocolate chips, I automatically think of cookies. You cannot separate pumpkin pie from the whipped cream. And as we get closer to Thanksgiving holiday, my mind is more and more on pumpkin pie and whipped cream. Right? You cannot separate the love of God and the fear of God. They go hand in hand. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and 18, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love." Psalm 118 and 4 says, "Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever." The fear of God and the love of God go together. So if somebody says, "I love the Lord," then you're also going to have a fear of God. And you want to have a fear of getting into sin, fear of going to places you shouldn't go, fear of doing things that you shouldn't do. You will have a love for God that leads you away from wrongdoing, leads you away from sin, and leads you to the path of holiness and righteousness. I want you to take note of this here. Don't forget this. The person that fears God the most loves God the best. The person that fears God the most loves God the best. There's nothing that will cause you to love God more than a proper fear of God. There is nothing that will bring more satisfaction to your life. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack, there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. When you understand who God is a holy, righteous, perfect God who demands perfection. A God who, because of his perfect holiness, cannot tolerate human sin. A God who sent his son Jesus. We talked about it this morning in our class. A God who sent his son Jesus, who had to die to deal with our sin. Then you understand why a healthy fear of God is necessary to have a relationship with God. As I sensed the leading of the Lord this week to preach on the fear of God, I've been asking myself, how can I grow? How can I grow in my fear of the Lord? How can I grow in my own heart? And I found this answer in Proverbs 2 and 1 and verse 5. Notice what it says. My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. It's a very simple verse, but yet so profound. My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. I mean, when you treasure his instructions, you hold them so dear to your life that you can't go one day without the instruction of the Lord in your life. You can't go one day without regular intake of the Word of God because you treasure his instructions. You hold it dear to your heart. It is the lifeline of your life. He said, treasure my instructions, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. When you treasure his instructions, that's when you know that you understand what it means to fear God. Here is the truth. When you hear God, you will fear God. When you get into his word, you begin to hear what God says. The fear of God continues to grow in your heart. You want to grow? Anybody want to grow an understanding of the fear of the Lord in their life? Then keep yourself in this book. Treasure the instructions of the Lord. Don't just let it sit on the stand somewhere. Don't just let it be something that you consult when you're having a bad day or going through some struggle. Although you can consult his word, he doesn't want to be a fairy weather friend in your life. He wants to be the best friend in your life. He wants to be that stable, constant presence in your life. So treat him like you cannot do without him every single moment of your life. Hallelujah. And thirdly, we must practically express the fear of God. In Acts chapter 10, there's a man named Cornelius, the Bible talks about. The Bible says in verse number 22, he was a just man, one who fears God. Would people call you a God-fearing person? That's how they named Cornelius. He was a person who feared God. Evidently, there was something about the way he lived his life that others noticed that he feared God. He was a just man who feared God. You know, I think there's three different ways that we should express our fear of God. Number one, it should be in the way we walk. How many know that the way we carry ourselves ought to reflect who God is and reflect the fear of God? The way we walk. Proverbs 3 and 7 says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn your back on evil. Fear the Lord and turn your back on evil. The fear of God, listen, the fear of God leads to a life of holiness. I said it leads to a life of holiness. When you fear God, it means that you fear displeasing him. You want to turn away from evil. You want to hate sin as much as he hates sin. I believe that's a problem in our culture today, and I believe it's a problem in the church world today. We don't even want to talk about sin anymore. But I'm here to tell you this morning, those who are sitting in this room and those who are watching online and will watch it later on archived, I'm here to tell you, as long as God gives me breath in this body, I will always mention sin because, listen, you and I need to be saved from sin. We need to be set free from sin. We have to recognize there is a condition that needs a Savior before we can be saved. Hallelujah. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was to set us free from sin. Hallelujah. You've got to recognize there's a problem before you can get free from that problem. Psalm 97:10, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and I think it's worth quoting again. You who love the Lord, anybody love the Lord out there? You who love the Lord, here's your responsibility. Hate evil. If you don't have a disdain for evil, for sin, for unrighteousness, for wrongdoing, there's something wrong in your relationship with God. If it doesn't cause a churning on the inside of you when you hear about sinful acts, or if it doesn't cause a churn, it's something going on inside when you commit a sin. How many know the Bible says we should not sin? I write these things to you little children that you may not sin, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I have an advocate that will go on my behalf. But there should be an intention, a deliberation on my part to not sin. I write these things to you that you may not sin, to walk in the path of holiness and righteousness should be our desire. It should be reflected in our walk. Let me put it to you this way, and I've asked Elijah to help me with this. If you really live your life in a healthy fear of God, here's five questions, and I'll ask him to put this on the screen. Here's five questions that we should ask ourselves. What thoughts would change? What words would not be spoken? What actions would cease? What attitudes would be corrected? What motives would be purified? Wow. I'm going to say it again. What thoughts would change? What words would not be spoken? What actions would cease? What attitudes would be corrected? What motives would be purified if we lived our lives in a healthy sense of the fear of God? You see, not only will the fear of God affect your walk, it'll affect your worship. It'll affect your worship. I learned something about the tithe that I want to share with you. All of my life, I've always been told that the primary purpose of the tithe was so that there would be meat in the storehouse. That is the result of the tithe. But that's not the primary purpose of the tithe. You want to know what the primary purpose of the tithe is? And I may lose some of you right here, but I hope you'll stay with me. In Deuteronomy 14 and 22, make an offering of 10%, a tithe of all the produce which grows in your fields year after year. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to fear the Lord. I don't give because I'm fearful of the preacher or fearful of the denomination or fearful of what somebody else is going to say. I fear the Lord. Yes, we know the church has to have money to operate, but that's not the primary purpose of giving a tithe. The purpose of the tithe is not primarily to support the work of the church. It's not primarily to get a tax break at the end of the year. It's to teach you to serve the Lord and to fear God. I fear Him. When you fear God, you acknowledge He's in control of everything you are and everything you have, and that He will reward your faith when you give it back to Him. Now that leads me to a shocking conclusion. The real reason why some people do not tithe is because they do not have a fear of the Lord. Because if you really have a fear for Him, you want to do exactly what He says in His Word. He says, try me, honor me. Let me work in your life. Well, you're just preaching on tithing because you're the pastor. No, I'm here to tell you something today. If you, everybody in here stops tithing, God will still take care of me because I'm going to keep on tithing. Yeah, hallelujah. You just keep do what God tells you to do. Honor God. He will always make a way where there seems to be no way. Some of you, God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You need to honor God in this area of your life because you will never see the results you want to see financially and in other ways in your life until you put Him first in your life. Enough of that. I'm moving on. Listen, we see that expression in our walk, in our worship, and I'm wrapping this up, in our witness. Our witness. The fear of God should be expressed in our witness. Our witness should involve the spirit of evangelism. We wonder why we're not seeing souls saved like we want to in our midst or in our world, in our context. Are we being evangelistic? Are we sharing Jesus with people? Are we sharing the basic gospel with people? Listen, it goes back to just being willing to tell your story. Everybody here, who's saved in this house? Raise your hand if you have a relationship with the Lord. You have a story. Be intentional to share what God has done for you. You don't have to include all the details. God's been good to you, and God has saved you, and God has rescued you from sin. There ought to be a reflection in your witness of the fear of God. I fear God, and I fear His commandments, and the last thing that Jesus left us to do before He left this earth, this is what He said to us: go into all the world and preach the gospel. If it wasn't that important, why would He leave that last? Of all the things that He could have impressed upon His disciples, this is the thing that He says: go into all the world. The fear of God in your life should have a reflection of witness. Everybody say witness. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Witness. Every one of us should have a desire to grow in our evangelism. Somebody mentioned it this morning in our Sunday school class. God has given me a burden for souls. We should pray, God, give me a burden for people to be saved. We need to be intentional to share Jesus with people. You don't have to it doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out thing. God will open up doors where you just share your story. What's God done for you? Who is God in your life? You never know how the Holy Spirit could use that intentionality on your part. I believe God wants to give, He wants to give us a genuine fear of the Lord that expresses itself in our walk, in our worship, in our witness. I want to challenge you this week, this coming week, somehow be intentional in your witness. How many of you will do that with me this week? Be intentional. Well, if God opens the door, well, maybe God wants you to open the door. God's already said go into all the world. Well, if it works out just right, well, maybe you need to look for that way, that segue, that transitional moment where you can turn things to the spiritual in that conversation and be intentional with it. Reflect the fear of God, because you know what? We're all responsible for getting this message out. That's where the fear of God comes in. If you truly have a fear of God, it should be reflected in your witness that it's not just my responsibility. It's not just those with the gift of evangelism. We're all called to be evangelistic in our approach. Well, I don't know all the scriptures. Do you have a story? Do you have a testimony? I don't know about you, but I've got a testimony. Share Jesus with those who don't know him. Or those who are discouraged. Or those who are about ready to throw in the towel and quit. Some of you know some people like that. It's about ready to give up. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's called us to be ambassadors. To be his hands extended. And say, you know what, you've come too far to turn back now. Hallelujah, you've got to keep on going. You've got to keep on serving the Lord. You've got to put your hand to the plow and set your face like a flint and keep on pressing forward in Jesus' name. Because if you have a true fear of God, listen. As Pastor Tommy comes, if you have a true fear of God, you will believe that eternity matters. There is still a place, wonderful place called heaven, and there's a horrible place that I don't want any of you to go, I don't want to go, called hell. It's just the truth. And if we have a proper fear of God, it will be reflected in our walk, in our worship, and in our witness. And we'll be burdened. Will be burdened for souls. First and foremost, we'll be very intentional to take care of our own soul. How many of you know we got to care after our souls? Because the enemy is slick and sly and cunning and crafty. And he says, be sober. The Lord says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he said, I want you to resist him steadfast in the faith. We've got to resist him steadfast in the faith. This is a good kind of fear to have, church. The fear of the Lord. Anybody here want to grow in the fear of the Lord with me? Would you stand with me and let's just worship God and let's just have a time of prayer of surrendering ourselves to him. You may have a need in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. God wants to help you this morning, wants to touch you. And these altars are open for God to minister to you today. Hallelujah. Would you join me in lifting your hands to the Lord as an act of surrender, symbolizing, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I want to grow in fear of you in my life. A proper sense of the fear of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to have a positive view of it. I want to experience it in my life, and I want to practically express it to those around me. God, you've called me to be a witness. God, I fear you. I fear your word. I treasure your instructions. I hold them dear to my heart. And I pray, Holy Spirit, help me to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me to realize I've got a responsibility, Lord. Help me to own up to that. Help me to stand up and take charge. Fulfill the calling you placed on my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening the doors even now. Help me to be sensitive to those that you want me to crack open and walk through. Holy Spirit, go before me. Go before me. Go before this church. Give us souls, Lord, to be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus, give us souls. Give us fruit in the name of the Lord, I pray. Help this people, Lord, to be evangelistic in their approach and their strategies throughout the week, Lord. Help them to be mindful. Be mindful of what you're doing and what you want to do. Jesus, you're moving in these last days. Your spirit is moving. And I pray you help us, Lord, to get on board with what you're doing. I pray for those who are watching online today, Lord. I pray for that one that doesn't know you, that's even maybe backslid on you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them back to you in Jesus' name. May they repent. May they ask God to forgive them right there where they are. I know that you will. You're a loving, merciful God. Those who have never known you, Holy Spirit, move on them to be saved, to turn away from sin. Jesus, come into my life. Save me, Lord. Save my life. Hallelujah. We'll give you the praise and the glory for all that you do, God. You are a good God. You are a good God. Would you just express your praise with me in this house this morning? Come on, lift up your voice in praise. God, you are a good God. Hallelujah. You are for me and not against me. You are for me and not against me. And you said, I'm more than a conqueror through you who loved me and gave yourself for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me to see things the way you see them, Lord. Help me to see through your eyes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you stretch your hands this way as we pray for this need this